The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Here ends our text. Does she or doesn't she? That's a phrase that has passed into popular culture from a hair coloring ad that ran from 55 to 73. Does she or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. That's how the ad went. Now that phrase is a book title. It's a regular line in news stories. I think there's even a TV show by that name. The phrase is popular because it piques the interest. It hints at a mystery, a paradox. This fits in with Epiphany, where we see the glory of God in the face of the man, Jesus. You haven't done justice to Epiphany until you confront the mystery, the paradox, the apparent contradiction of it. In our text, we see three of them all raising the question, does he or doesn't he? Does or doesn't Jesus keep the law? How often have I said that one of the reasons God took on flesh and blood is to keep the law in our place? And I wasn't just referring to the Ten Commandments, but the Jewish civil and ceremonial laws too. Well, touching the leper, that's a serious breach of the ceremonial law. The only thing that defiled the Jew more than touching a leper was touching a dead body. Lepers were the living dead to them. A clean man, a rabbi, a teacher, deliberately touching a leper, that was bigger news than healing a leper. It was a willful violation of the law, and so unnecessary. Jesus doesn't heal the man by touching him, but by saying, "I will be clean." So, does Jesus keep the law or not? Apparently not. But wait. After healing the leper, what does Jesus do? He sends the man to the priest to offer the sacrifices Moses commanded. God gave no instructions for curing leprosy. He instructed his priest only how to recognize it. A cure, only God could do that. When God saw fit to cure leprosy, the cured leper presented himself to a priest who then offered sacrifices which restored the cured leper to the church. So does or doesn't Jesus keep the law? Apparently so. In this paradox is an epiphany truth. An ordinary man touching a leper would only become unclean in the eyes of the law, not Jesus. He touches the man, and in addition to becoming unclean, he cures the leper. The law must recognize the leper as clean now. And though there's no leprosy on Jesus from that leper, the law must declare Jesus unclean and deal with him accordingly. That's how in the coming Lent we'll see Jesus treated, won't we? Like anything that ritually defiled the temple, Jesus will be taken outside of Jerusalem to be disposed of. God will forsake him because he sees all sins on Jesus, making Jesus not just sinfully unclean, but sin itself. So all the punishment of the law requires sinners to suffer, Jesus will suffer. Okay, Jesus does keep the law, but does he or doesn't he want people to know about it? Our text says, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. What an incredible change in tone. First, tender compassion, then stern warning. The root of this word for warning means to be moved with anger. Jesus did not just say, "Well, let's keep this between you, me, and the fence post." No, he said, "Don't you dare tell anyone." And to emphasize he meant it, Jesus didn't just send him away. No, the text says Jesus threw him out. Does or doesn't Jesus want people to know about him? Apparently not. But Jesus sends the man to the priest to provide a testimony to them. Since Jesus sends the man to a priest who could sacrifice, he's sending him to Jerusalem. Only there could sacrifices be offered. Jesus giving the whole priesthood of Jerusalem testimony that he could do what they all confessed only God could do. Heal leprosy. So Jesus wanted the priest to know him through the evidence of the miracles. But Jesus didn't want this healed leper to make him know him. Our insert makes it sound like all the leper did was go out talking about this miracle. And that gives the impression that if the guy had just gone out proclaiming the gospel, well, that would have been okay with Jesus. If he had gone out spreading the good news rather than just news, that would have been fine. A more accurate translation doesn't bear that view out. It says literally, going out, he began to preach much and to blaze abroad the word. But Jesus didn't send him out to do that, did he? Evidently, Jesus did not want this man preaching the word. Evidently, there are times and there are places it does more harm than good. The text says the healed leper went out and preached the word, and as a result, people came to Jesus from everywhere. Were they coming for the word or for a miracle? Text doesn't say. We know from last week's text the crowds came for miracles. We see that in the feeding of the 5,000 as well. But there were occasions like on the seashore when the word is what congregated the people. Yet honestly, what does the person who believes God has given him a miracle usually end up talking the most about? Not the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. Not how Jesus saved them from sin, death, and the devil. He ends up talking about his miracle. Jesus' power to heal, to do miracles, is not the point Jesus wants blazed abroad. No, what needs to be known is that simple truth that he kept the law and he could do what everyone admitted only God could do, heal leprosy. And that meant he is God in flesh. Remember when Jesus forgave the paralytic his sins? The Pharisees were upset because only God could forgive sins. Then Jesus healed the paralytic to prove to them that he could do on earth what they admitted only God could do, forgive sins. The physical miracle was secondary and only done for the sake of the spiritual truth. The greatest miracle anyone experiences is their sins being forgiven. Even if Jesus has healed you of cancer, rescued you from drugs, or made you rich, how many unbelievers could say they've experienced that very same thing? No, your miracle is that Jesus has made your scarlet sins white as snow. Jesus has forgiven the sins which your conscience, the devil, and the world declare unforgivable. But who gets excited about that? When people give their testimonies, what do they usually talk about? Not the word and sacrament that bring the forgiveness of sins Jesus won on the cross to them. No, they end up talking about the physical things Jesus did for them or how deeply they feel about Jesus. But after Jesus rose from the dead, what did he command be preached to all the nations? Miracles and feelings about him or repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name? Apparently, Jesus does not want people to know him, does want people to know him as the fulfiller of the law and as God in flesh and blood. But does or doesn't he will to heal people? We keep bumping into this question in Epiphany because Jesus keeps healing people. In 20 plus years of ministry, I have not seen one disease healed by a miracle that no one could deny. How many have you seen? Well, Jesus did heal this leper. Even the leper knows the matter of healing is an if. And the if of the leper is more questionable than we say it in English. He says, if ever you are willing, which means he sure Jesus has the power to do the healing, But wherever, whenever he might do it, well, that's totally up to him. Jesus willed to heal this leper, but it was a far more than leprosy. He sent him back to the church so he could again take part in the divine services. If you believe, as you should, that spiritual burdens are heavier than physical ones, then you know the heaviest burden of leprosy was not being allowed to take part in church services. You couldn't enter the temple to take part of the Old Testament sacraments. You could sometimes get close enough to hear a rabbi preaching, but for the most part, you were condemned to live apart from word and sacrament. Jesus restores this leper to all the riches of God's grace by taking the judgments of the law upon himself and by cleansing him of all that kept him outside of the church. And here's the tragedy of this text, which I have seen replayed dozens of times in the church. I've told you I've never seen a miraculous healing where one moment they were sick and the next they were back on their feet. But I have seen our Lord heal homes, marriages, bodies, and lives. I've seen people just like this leper, who in their sickness, in their turmoil, in their affliction, were drawn to Jesus. They clung to Jesus in their state of wretchedness, even as this leper does. And Jesus healed them, as sure as he did this leper. And like this leper, they were content with the physical healing, with their normal life being restored to them. They didn't return to the word and to the sacrament in their newfound health. But even as this cured leper did, they go off doing what they think they ought to be doing for Jesus. They believe that because Jesus healed them, he must certainly love them, and they certainly must have his blessing in their life from now on. That's a fatal flaw. If being healed is proof of God's love and blessing, then what about the millions of Christians who die in their illness? What about the millions of Christians who die in their painful existence? What about the millions of Christians who die in their troubled lives? The proof of God's love and blessing is not being healed by Jesus, it's Jesus and the gifts he left us. Miracles point people to Jesus as God in flesh and blood. And what miracles has this God in flesh and blood left to us? He's left us the miracle of water that can rescue our souls from hell. He's left us the miracle of words that can forgive a lifetime of sins. He's left us the miracle of bread and wine that brings to us his body and blood to eat and drink for strength, life, and salvation. Does or doesn't Jesus will to heal? Through the miracles of baptism, absolution, and communion, Jesus wills to heal all people eternally. Other healings, well, they can only be ifs. If a healing serves Jesus' glory, if it serves your eternal well-being, and if it serves God's will that all come to repentance and faith, you can be sure if all those conditions are met, Jesus is going to heal. But those are big ifs, you say. Of course they are. That's why only the man who is God can make that call. And that's why we always pray, if you are willing. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes